Okay, I'm really grateful that I can have the opportunity to be here to present just one aspect of my research. And I also would like to thank BYU for getting me here. Then I can have the opportunity to present here. In fact, you know, I'm not an expert in this area, so probably my presentation maybe will be a bit simple, and I'm not going to engage in deep analysis. However, on the other positive side, maybe it means that, you know, my presentation can be short, then all you can get relieved and go back to have a rest. So I can finish it quickly. Okay, today my presentation topic is freedom of religion in China under the current legal framework and the foreign religious bodies. Okay, this is the outline for my presentation. First, I just would like to introduce the history, maybe historical part of the Chinese part in relation to religion, and try to raise the issue. Then I will present the present situation and the legal framework in China. Then I would like to talk a little bit about the characteristics of China freedom of religion administration. Finally, I hope that I can offer some concluding thoughts or some advice. China, in fact, is a country with a long history of religious practices. In fact, like Taoism was originated in China and was established as a religion in the late Eastern Han Dynasty. That's around 25 to 200 AD time. And Buddhism was introduced from India during the Han Dynasty time, traditionally in the first century. That time, that's quite early. And Islam can even be dated back to a mission in the year of 651. That's only 18 years after Prophet Muhammad's death. And Christianity had existed in China as early as the 7th century AD, but it disappeared for a while, got declined, don't know the reason, and then also reintroduced. At the end of the Ming Dynasty in the 16th century, Jesus arrived in Beijing via Guangzhou. The most famous missionary was Matteotti. It's an Italian mathematician, okay? He came to China in the year 1588 and also lived in Beijing in 1600. And now even a great diversity of a new religious movement is thriving across China now. However, after this kind of establishment of the People's Republic of China, it seems that many foreign religious bodies, they really do not really understand how to conduct their religious activities in China. So that's why I would like to talk about, you know, the present situation and also, you know, the legal framework. The present situation is like this. China, in fact, you know, as Professor Liu introduced, you know, is a country with different kinds of religions, but mainly got five kinds of religions got recognized by the government. First, of course, is the Buddhism. But in fact, you know, in all China, you know, the Buddhism is of course a branch of is a Theravada teaching. Okay, that's a branch of Buddhism got taught there. And like a Tibetan Buddhism is a Lamaism, right? Even a sub-branch of a Theravada teaching. And also another one is Taoism, Islamism, and also, you know, Roman Catholics and Protestant churches of the Christian religions. That's the five religions recognized by the government. So that's why maybe they got a bit of grandfather rules there. And then, of course, I've got this kind of, you know, numbers or statistic here. This is taken from the State Administration for Religious Affairs. That's the official website. And it seems that the number seems to be okay, right? You know, there are more than 100 million believers in China now, and more than 300,000 cleric persons, more than 3,000 religious bodies, and more than 85,000 places for religious activities now in China. The number seems okay, and I hope that it's true. Then our sweet, you know, Katrina Sweat will get relieved in that situation. Okay, this is the situation, and then this is the legal framework. The legal framework, you got the law. They say, okay, first is the constitution. they will provide for, say, okay, freedom of religion. Let's look at this Article 36 of the Constitution. In the Article 36 of the Constitution, it provides that, you know, citizens of the PRC, or People's Republic of China, enjoy freedom of religious belief. Okay, they recognized this. And then they say, oh, no state organ, public organization or individual may compare citizens to believe in or not to believe in any religion, nor may they discriminate against citizens who believe in or do not believe in any religion. Then, of course, they also provided these two caveats or provisos here. You can see that no one can make use of religion to engage in activities that disrupt public order or impair the health of citizens or interfere with the education system of the state. And also, no, it should not be subject to any foreign domination. You see, this is interesting. So this is law. Of course, you got a constitution. That's the highest level of law in China. And these laws are made by the People's Congress or the Standing Committee of the People's Congress. And also you got other laws, like the law of the PRC of China on regional and national autonomy, and the general rules of civil law, the law for education, labor law, compulsory education law, law on the election of deputies of the National People's Congress, organic law of the Rural Residence Committee of PRC, and also the law of advertisement. So these laws, they try to say, okay, they try to use this to protect the property of religious bodies, the separation between religion and education, and the equal education opportunities of the citizens who have, you know, different, you know, religious backgrounds, or the respect for the customs and the beliefs of each ethnic groups, or the equal opportunity of citizens for employment and the non-discrimination against the religion advertisement. So these are the laws. Then we also have some kind of lower-level regulations and rules. One, of course, you know, relevantly for the religious bodies, especially for foreign religious bodies, there are two regulations or rules. They are very important, right? The first one is the Regulations on Religious Affairs. That one was issued by the State Council for PRC. And the other one is the rules for the implementation of the provisions on the administration of the religious affairs activities of aliens or foreigners within the territory of the PRC. Okay, that one was issued by the State Administration for Religious Affairs. So these are just the issued by State Council or by the ministries, okay, lower level of the laws. These are just the basic current framework, okay, legal framework here. Then now I would like to talk a little bit about the characteristics of China in relation to its religion administration. For this, you know, one of the main characteristics of China law relating to freedom of religion is that it is administrative in nature. This can be shown in the following aspects. Firstly, the freedom of religion should not be used as a tool to disrupt public order in China. No, you can see that's also in the constitution. Of course, this is a quite very important or even most important aspect of the China law, okay, used by the Chinese government to administer the religious activities. Because also, you know, Chinese government also is afraid of foreign domination. You can see in the constitution, it's not subject to foreign domination of the religion, and that's why they're afraid of this. That one also, that's because, you know, because of China's past history of foreign bullying in the 19th century. So they're really afraid of this. Okay, this is one part. Okay, secondly, I think the Chinese government try to control or administer the establishment, the alteration and cancellation of registration of religious bodies and the religious education institutes. Of course, according to the regulations on religious affairs, a religious body is regarded as a kind of association and shall be subject to the regulations on registration and administration of associations. Usually, of course, Professor Liu also mentioned, this kind of registration is handled by the Ministry of Civil Affairs or the local authorities of of civil affairs. And in this way, you know, but in practice, in fact, it's impossible, as Professor Li also introduced, because they also need to get their approval before you register your religious body in that in at the kind of a Ministry of Civil Affairs or the local authority for civil affairs. You need to seek approval from the maybe the state administration for religious affairs or the local level for this kind of state administration. But usually, if you are a kind of a new religion, except those five recognized ones, you cannot get this kind of approval. They're not going to give this approval. So it means that you have no way to register it, even as a kind of, a, say, or maybe association legal person in that situation. And also, if an institution for religious education is to be established, an application also should be made to the Religious Affairs Department of the State Council or Provincial Religious Affairs Department of the People's Government, if this religious body is only a provincial religious body. So this is the second kind of, you know, control or administration. Thirdly, I think the Chinese government, you know, administers the sites or the places for religious activities. For example, the building of any temple, church, or monasteries or mosques, all subject to the approval of the religious department of the government at the county, at or above county level. Even for the preparation for the establishing such kind of site, you also have to get a kind of approval, okay? And also the government can supervise and inspect this site to make sure that the activities conducting these sites are in compliance with the laws and the regulations. This is third. And fourthly, the Chinese government also administers the personnel for religious bodies. Then, according to this regulation, any appointment of a religious personnel or vacating or leaving of the chief religious post shall be reported to the Religious Affairs Department, right? So, in summary, the Chinese government, in fact, through this kind of law, administration and the incorporation of religious bodies, the establishment of the religious sites for religious activities, and the appointment and the retirement of religious personnel, the government, in fact, maintains a kind of a control to make sure that activities conducted by various religious bodies are so-called lawful, okay? So this is the one characteristic. The other one relating to foreigners, because China's past history of being bullied by the aliens during the 19th century, China became a bit like a xenophobic, okay, in that way. So after the establishment for PRC, so the government started to administer the freedom for religion and the activities of many foreign religious bodies in China. Then that's why in 2000, the year 2000, you got that rules. Oh no, that's the rules. And according to that rules, you know, for religious activities, then if a foreign religious personnel may preach and expound the scripture at the lawfully registered site. They can only preach at those kind of sites. So they can only do it in that way. They try to control for religious activities, but only after being invited also by Chinese religious bodies that are recognized at or above the level of a province or autonomous region or a kind of municipality under the direct administration of the central government. Or foreigners with other status other than religious personnel also need an invitation and approval at or above the level of the province or autonomous region or municipality under direct administration of the central government. So this way, you also means that, you know, usually this means that any foreign religious bodies that wishes to conduct religious activities in China should have a kind of a relationship with contacting Chinese religious body. Okay, so these kind of relationships are usually regarded as a kind of friendly contact or academic or cultural exchange. That's what they do. And also, this is for religious activities. For the publication for foreign religious bodies, and any foreign religious bodies are prohibited from bringing or importing their religious printed, like a printed matter or audiovisual products or other articles. If the amount exceeds that which can be regarded as sufficient for personal rational use, okay? And also, no such kind of publications are permitted if the contents of these articles are detrimental to the Chinese national security or public interest of the Chinese society. So this also means that the foreign missionaries and other religious bodies cannot distribute the pamphlets or brochures freely anywhere in China, and any publication for foreign religious bodies is subject to censorship in some way. And also for the Chinese going abroad to get training as a religious personnel or inviting foreigners to come to China to study at the Chinese religious institutions, they all require approval from the national religious bodies, and they should be recorded also at the State Administration for Religious Affairs. And also if a foreigner teaches at a Chinese religious institution, it also is subject to a specific measure issued by also this State Administration for Religious Affairs through different kinds of control. And also for foreign missionaries, I just listed here, the foreign activities may be prohibited. So there's lots of kind of activities, and maybe I just skip this, you know. Anyway, I just want to, you know, summarize it. In summary, the Chinese law relating to the administration of foreign religious activities show that, you know, the controlling nature of the law and the foreign religious activities are usually regarded as a kind of a cultural or academic exchange with the local Chinese religious bodies. That's the characteristic. So now, you know, China is a country with a lot of also like growing number of religious believers now. So it is very likely that, you know, it will create more and more challenges to the Chinese government in its desire or its policy to closely administer all the religious activities. As part of this big religious family of the world, of course, for foreign religious bodies, you know, they will also have more and more interaction with the Chinese, you know, religious believers or Chinese religious bodies. So both the Chinese government and foreign religious bodies should take stock of this kind of practical situation, because that's the legal framework out there, and they should find a way to promote such kind of interaction. And China, you know, is a vast country with the largest population in the world. And so in this way, so they just know, and also their law, the whole system is based on kind of a centralized system. So this kind of centralized system, of course, determines the characteristics of many Chinese laws and their Chinese laws and also their administrative nature. So in order to maintain the level of control that is considered in Chinese government eye, it's necessary to make sure the society is being run in good order. Sometimes the law may appear to be somewhat repressive, okay? So I would like to offer some thoughts in this. I think the first thought I would like to offer is that given the legal framework and the characteristics of China law in relation to freedom of religion, if foreign religious bodies wish to promote a close and lawful interaction with the Chinese religious believers and religious bodies, they should seek cooperation with the Chinese government in order to practice its religion in China. I mean, at this moment, no other way you can do, right? The second thought I would like to offer is that because, you know, China has this kind of centralized system, then this kind of centralized system means that, you know, the central government usually has more power. So maybe for foreign religious body, if they wish to seek to practice their religion in China, maybe they should try to approach the government from the top level instead of the local level, so that an approval from the top level can be sought before any religious activities can be conducted. So this kind of a top-down level method, I think, may be more effective for religious bodies to conduct their activities in China. If this kind of religion, except those five recognized official recognized religion, if they want to enter there, and then if you can seek the approval from the top level, and then maybe you can use it to register it, right? To in China register you this kind of religious body. So for foreign religious body, they should try to also in that way to seek cooperative Chinese religious bodies to cooperate in China, or to seek some Chinese believers to register this kind of the religious body in China before their religious conduct their religious activities in China. Although I know it is not proper for a religious body, it is indeed like establishing a joint venture in China. Thank you for your attention.